There should be lines available for people to observe. Philip?
Yes, hi everybody.
Perhaps you could sort that one out with the conference organizer. I believe we're now operating just on standard NC.
We are. And Philip, let me just tell you, when I dialed in, I asked the operator to be sure I was on a speak line, and she told me that all ports.
Mr. Evans is joining.
Correct. Yeah. It should be with the closed. All lines should be speaker privileges, but subject to a closed list.
Yeah. Hi, Jake Scott.
Hello.
We're talking about the technology.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Did you get my posting on the summer meeting, Jay Scott?
Yes, I responded by email, Kenneth Scott.
Okay. Philip, one real quick thing as part of the agenda item for Ghana. Let's talk about at least MPEG recording of the council meeting if we can do it any other way.
Yeah. Okay. Good scheme.
Okay.
This is Louie. Can people hear me?
Louie, we can indeed. Oh, very welcome. Good. Enjoying the early morning sunshine in California?
Well, I haven't found it yet, but it'll
It's not there yet.
What's the weather like in England?
This park is joined.
Hi, Jay. You're very welcome.
Thank you. Hello. So, Philip, you are the only one so far?
No, there's a host of us. I'll find out a list in one moment. Just as soon as I solve a small technical problem.
Philip, are you set up so that on your computer you can actually see who's on the call and so forth?
Yep, this is part of the new system that we subscribe to.
Oh, that's right.
And it's very useful for holding the call, except the system threw me out a few moments ago, so I'm now trying to get back in.
Kisses Portanova has joined.
Hello.
Elizabeth, welcome.
Welcome. Bonjour, everybody.
Bonjour. Hi, Elizabeth. It's Marilyn.
Hi.
I just see, I'm just getting online since 6
Park
o'clock
is
last night. And I see we have the date of the summer meeting.
Mr. Crochetti is
yes.
joining.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Roger.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning, it's Peter DeBlanc.
Hello, Peter.
Peter, you're welcome. Okay, we seem to have 16 participants so far, so I think we'll be making a start very shortly. We will be joined later in the call also with Alexander Svensson from the General Assembly, who will be helping us on discussions of the Ghana timetabling.
Excuse me, Mr. Tonkin and Mr. Tyndall have joined.
Bruce, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
And Laurence, that was you joining earlier, I think, yes?
Yes, hello. Hello, Philippe.
Hello, Laurence. Okay, so to my mind, we're still missing Ellen Shankman. You're with us, aren't you now, Ellen, I think?
I'm right here.
Ellen, hello. And Milton. We are missing, and we're missing Oscar, is that correct? Hello?
Yep. Can I ask for a little agenda update? There have been some new additions to the council, and if I recall, the non-commercial people were also in the process of holding elections. Maybe YJ or Milton or someone representing that constituency in a call could give us an update there as well, if possible.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, yes, this is
good.
YJ.
Go ahead.
Okay, as you can see, non-commercial constituency has been conducting the 2000 election right now. So I think our new representatives will be available early March. And I think, unfortunately or unfortunately, like the whole the new council members are going to be replaced by the new members. So I think like you can welcome like new named council members from non-commercial constituency from the Ghana Accra meeting.
Thank you for the update, YJ.
Hello, I just joined. This is Milton.
Milton, you're welcome. We're just going to make a start now. We are fully, we are over court. Before we commence the formal agenda, let me make a formal welcome to J. Scott Evans and Ellen Shankman, the new representatives for the IP constituency, joining us for the first time.
Thank you.
Item one is adoption of the agenda. We've had a suggestion from Ken to talk about the possibility of an MPEG recording for Ghana meetings. You will have seen, if you've been reading emails over the last few hours, I sent out a usual request for sponsorship for webcasting of the BNFO meetings in Ghana. This time around, arrangements are slightly different. I think the Berkman Institute are not going to be out there. And the situation is that if we are unable to get sponsorship, approximately 12,500, there will be no webcasting of the DNFO in Ghana. But we will, of course, have some minimal requirements, and we can talk about what those need to be under Item 6, Ghana meetings. Are there any other changes to the agenda anybody would like? Nope, that takes silence as consent to the agenda. Let's go straight on to Item 2, which is approval of the summary of the last meeting. This has been posted for the requisite amount of time. Do I have any comments on that?
Now, Philip, this is Ken Stubbs. I'd like to go ahead and approve the minutes as submitted. Request vote on that, please. Move.
Thank you. Ken calling for approval. Second for Ken. Somebody second Ken?
I second. J. Scott Evans.
J. Scott, thanks very much. All those in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Those opposing, please say no. Those abstaining, please say abstain. Perfect. Thank you very much. We now move on to Item 3, which is names council chair. And I shall be passing the chair shortly when we get onto the substance of this item in the parts of that may relate to myself and the recent vote. During these discussions, some other items have risen in terms of possible procedures for the future, what we may like to do, and also the question of email votes. I'm happy to address those as chair for this meeting when we come on to those, but for the moment, in terms of the status of the email vote for names council chair and where we go from there, if I may, I will now hand the chair to Tony Holmes, if you're willing to take it, Tony.
Yes, certainly.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Okay, just...
Philip, I'm sorry, it's Marilyn.
Marilyn.
I was off for a moment. Did you do a roll call, a verbal call?
I haven't done a verbal roll call, because, of course, I have a written one in front of me.
would
I also like to know who's on, though. thank you for reminding me that I have privileged technology in front of me, which nobody else has at the moment. So let me do a call then. Marilyn Cade.
I'm here.
Good, thank you. Grant Forsyth.
Good morning.
J. Scott Evans.
Here.
Laurence de Cahin.
Yes, I'm here.
Ellen Chankman.
Yes, I'm here.
YJ Park.
Yes.
Vanny, I believe, has given her proxy.
Yes, I got her proxy too.
Yep.
Thanks, Marjorie. Milton.
Here.
Ken.
Here.
Bruce.
Here.
Philip.
Philip is traveling today, and I've got his proxy delivered to the Secretariat.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks. Peter.
Present.
Elizabeth.
Present.
Oscar. No. Tony House has given his proxy to Tony Holmes.
Right.
Greg Ruth.
Present.
Tony.
Yes.
Roger.
I'm right here.
Carrie.
Here.
And Richard.
Here.
Perfect. Okay. Let's return to item three, names council chair, Tony Holmes, please take the chair.
Thank you. Just to recap where we were, there was a vote held on the motion that Caroline put up for the chair. The result of that, it was an email vote, was 10 for, 9 against, and 1 abstention. At this stage, it's worth recounting that my vote was actually the abstention when it was due to an electronic failure that the vote was never recorded. But I'd also like to remind the Names Council of Louis's ruling that an email vote isn't valid until ratified or repeated on a call. So on that basis, I would like to ask the Names Council to agree to take another vote on the call now. Is that acceptable?
No, it's Marilyn. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, on the to go back to the count, it was 10 for, 9 against, 1 abstention, and wasn't it also then 1 missing vote?
Marilyn, yes, it was. This is Ken Stubbs.
So I believe the only correction I would make to the record from what you just said, Tony, was, and Glenn could verify this for us, and perhaps that's the best thing for us to ask her to do now, is to just verify the count.
Okay, Glenn, can you verify that it was exactly as Marilyn stated?
The count was 10 and 4, 9 against, and 1 abstention, but did your abstention come through, or did somebody else abstain?
Mr. Robles,
hi, this is Oscar.
That was exactly as I read it, but Marilyn, I think you challenged that.
Well, my question is just, there are 21 members of the Names Council, and an abstention usually is a vote that is an active vote as an abstention, as opposed to a failure to receive a vote. That was why I was...
The 21, the 20 votes...
Can I give a point of order here?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. This is Ken Stubbs. Tony Holmes' vote was not recorded at all. I'm looking at the results of the vote that the Secretariat posted. There were 20 people who were listed as voting, and Tony was not even listed as voting. So, therefore, Tony was not even counted as an abstention. His vote evidently was not listed as being received by the vote bot. So I just thought I'd make it clear to everyone there.
Thank you, Ken. That was the clarity we were certainly looking for. And that's what should be recorded as the position.
Yes, now, Tony, it's Glenn. That will be recorded because, in fact, it was your vote that was missing when the votes were counted.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
So to move this forward, I would ask now the Names Council to agree taking a vote on this call, and if that's accepted, we can immediately proceed down that path. Is that acceptable?
Gary, point of order. Wasn't there a proposal to ratify the vote as it was taken by email? Wasn't, in fact, that the thing that was missing? We voted by email, and that's not enough. We need to ratify this.
If we vote,
that means we are vacating the vote as it has taken place.
I believe the issue there is the issue of the missing vote that wasn't received, if we ratified on that basis.
It's Peter waiting for the cue.
Peter?
I would argue that we should take the vote again.
Thank you. Is there any opposition to Peter's proposal?
This is Ken Stubbs. I'm not necessarily opposing his proposal, but I would like to discuss for just a second the procedure that we're going through right here.
what we're doing, and to some extent, is we're setting a precedent that I'm very concerned about. And the reason, very simply, is if we're following the same procedures now that we followed in the past for names council votes, I will draw your attention to the votes that we've taken in the past for ICANN directors. In effect, what we're saying is the process that we've gone through in the past has not been legitimized until the votes were actually ratified, and that, in fact, what could happen in the future is that regardless of what the position was that was taken in the vote, that position could be reversed by any names council member up until the time that the vote is ratified. If you recall, in the past, we've not necessarily ratified our votes for ICANN directors for a period of anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. So regardless of what we do today, we're going to have to get this resolved in the future because it doesn't look optically like it's the most appropriate way of dealing with the election process in the future. That would leave every names council member, because of the fact that in the ICANN votes, the votes are actually published, open to additional lobbying and significant pressure from groups after the initial vote was announced, and I don't think that's an appropriate way to run elections.
So I want to, if I can comment, this is Roger, I want to agree entirely with the point that Ken just made. I think it may appear to some that all we're talking about is a rather arcane administrative matter at this point, but in fact, what we have here are layers of council activity in which it's putting aside its normal rules, its normal procedures, and making up a new procedure on the spot. What happens when you do that sort of thing repeatedly is that it undermines your credibility. It means that you don't really have rules. If the rules are inconvenient, you make up a new one. Tony, it's unfortunate that you were not able to participate in a vote like this, but that's not the first time that somebody has not been able to participate in a vote. It's just, it happened. So in the past, we have ignored it and gone ahead and ratified by voice vote the recorded vote that had previously been taken. You're suggesting, well, that may have been what we've done in the past. We should not do that now. We should have a new vote. And Ken's point is, I think, very important, and that is, if that's the way we had always done things, it would be one thing, but what we're doing is making up a completely new procedure on the spot to deal with this circumstance. If you do that repeatedly and in layers, then you're going to undermine your credibility. There's just not the way around it.
Please put me on queue.
Tony, it's Marilyn. I'd like to be in queue as well. Maybe after Elizabeth?
Okay.
Yeah, Bruce Tolkien ought to be in the queue as well.
Okay. That's Marilyn, Elizabeth, and Bruce. Marilyn?
Actually, Elizabeth first, and then me.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, I would like to clarify what was said by Ken. I believe it was slightly inaccurate, and I've been witnessing all elections to the ICANN board, and I still remember very clearly the first one in 1999 when it was all the rules were established. And the somewhat very difficult discussion between Dennis Jennings at that time, the chair, and Louis Tutel, and it was requested to have election to ICANN board approved by the teleconference. And it was done immediately after election in 1999. And we, in Montevideo, if you recall, we had the physical meeting of as many of us as present to ratify. It was, each time we had election to ICANN board, it was ratified, it had to be ratified, and it was requested by, since 99, so since the very beginning. Just wanted to bring it to your attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Marilyn.
I'm going to go back to a question about procedures and may end up needing to ask Louis for a clarification. As I understand our proper procedure, we take an email vote and then we ratify the email vote to be sure that the there's there's validity to the ballots that have been received and to the content of those ballots. And in this particular email vote, we had a transmission failure or some other failure of some kind that was then was identified by one of the voters who said, hold on here, I did vote and my vote is not included. We did not at that time redo the email vote, which may have been a more appropriate step for us to take in order to then move on to a ratification. That would be one point that I would make, because we do have a voter who has said, my vote was not included, but I did vote. The second point I would make, it seems to me, is that after we make a decision, that our decision is, are we going to acknowledge that all 21 of the members of the Names Council voted and that they have a right to ratify their vote as they intended for it to be received, which is, I believe, the purpose of the ratification. In that case, we have the following option, I believe. We could ratify the email vote, allowing Tony to ratify his intended vote, and that would recognize the 21 votes of the Names Council. Or, if people are uncomfortable with that, we could re-vote.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn. Louis, before I move on to Bruce, is there anything you would wish to add that could put any more clarity on that situation?
No, I think that's pretty clear.
Okay, thank you. Bruce?
I guess I just wanted to reiterate what Roger and Elizabeth had said, that I think we should be ratifying it both. I support the concept that Marilyn has put forward, that if we're talking about a transmission failure of a vote that occurred during the voting period, I think that's reasonable. I think if we're talking about the fact that someone may have been away or they weren't available during that period and then they want to register a vote after that period, I would say that that would be unreasonable, because just to use an analogy now with this voice call, if somebody wasn't able to make this voice call, we accept that they weren't able to make that meeting. We don't then go and get their vote afterwards. So I would accept the vote that was made in transmission error if that transmission occurred during the voting period.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. I would just like to try and clarify that from my perspective. I did actually vote on the Sunday, and it was at a period where I was experiencing a lot of problems with a new PC. I then left to travel to Switzerland, and I wasn't back on the air for a couple of days after that. So I had no way in the interim of realizing that my vote hadn't been received. And I fully understand where both Ken and Roger are coming from, and I'd like to ask Ken if the situation you referred to in previous votes was where a vote wasn't received or where it was just a failure of somebody to vote.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, fine. First of all, let me say a couple of things. Number one is, it's clear in a circumstance like that. I mean, we are a group of 21 people that need to have confidence in each other and need to move forward, and we need to try to build consensuses by whenever possible and avoid a controversy. As far as I'm concerned, personally, myself, I would assume that the comments that you made were totally accurate, and I would just go ahead and record. I would go ahead and record whatever your vote was. I am somewhat opposed to the idea of taking a re-vote, because in effect a vote all over again is in effect a vote as opposed to a ratification. I'm looking at the minutes here that Elizabeth POTUS posted on the elections, and I do note that the public announcement of who voted for who was not released immediately, but actually was delayed. If we're going to operate in this kind of a system, then my personal feeling is that you should go ahead and vote, and let's make sure that we set some procedures up in the future where we have some sort of an answer back system, so that you get an acknowledgement that you voted, and before the votes are actually announced, there is some sort of a signal sent out by whoever's responsible to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. Even if necessary, in a voting circumstance like this, I think it's incumbent on the Ames Council members to make, if you do not actually receive a physical confirmation by email, then you need to contact the secretariat. But that's more procedural. In the past, the ratifications have only been on the basis of the votes recorded, but we have not had a circumstance, to the best of my knowledge, where someone attempted to vote and their vote was not actually received, nor have we had a circumstance in the past where someone has indicated that the vote that they cast was erroneous. So, you know, that's how I would answer your question. I'm sorry if I got a little long-winded there.
Tony, this is Roger. Can I offer a comment, too?
Yes, go ahead, Roger.
Just to clarify that, I absolutely do not want to deprive you or your constituency of your vote. That was in no way the intent or the objective of my comment. So I do not oppose having a revote. I'm simply making the point that we can't be making up new procedures constantly, and when existing procedures sort of prove inconvenient to somebody's objective, the normal reaction you should have to that is, well, I've lost under the existing rules. I'll try to change the rules for the future. But, you know, so my point is really about having a rules-based organization, and I don't oppose having a vote on this, and I certainly don't oppose having you or the constituency have this opportunity to fully participate.
Would you put me back in the queue again, Tony Kim?
Okay. Roger, you have finished, yes?
Yes, I have. I'm sorry, yes.
Ken, would you like to come back?
Yeah, not just to come back to Roger, but to come back to the whole council here. Frankly, I hope we don't have a circumstance like this again. I hope that in the future, when we have issues which are as clearly and as closely, let's use the word contested, I think it is better for us to counsel amongst each other in a more public environment, and let's see if we can get these things worked out within the council and try to build a broader consensus. I don't think it's a good idea in the future to have issues like this as closely contested. It sends the wrong signal. I hope you all know what I'm saying there. I'm just a little frustrated that I would much prefer to have seen this with a broader consensus one way or the other. That's all.
Tony?
Yeah, I agree with Ken there. This is Milton. I think it's unfortunate that we are talking about changing the rules by a margin this slim. And I think it's unfortunate that everybody thinks this is such a critical vote that we would be this evenly divided. Ideally, the chairmanship should be primarily a ministerial function. And I'm not sure what the stakes are one way or the other, unless one believes, as I pretty much do not in Philip's case, that the chairman has been manipulating results or controlling the outcomes of particular processes. I'm not understanding why this is taking up so much of our time. I think we should be pretty unanimous on who our next chair should be and on the rules for selecting him, if we can achieve that.
Thank you, Milton. I did hear somebody else in the
queue. This is J. Scott Evans. It seems to me that the concern I hear as a new member is how this issue is couched. If it's a re-vote, that implies that people can change their vote. If it's an affirmation of the online email vote, then it is merely a confirmation of voting that's already taken place, acknowledging, of course, that one vote, for one reason or another, had technical malfunctions that was not recorded, and that acknowledgement needs to be taken into account, and that person should be allowed to confirm their vote as well. So I think that the important thing is how it is couched. This isn't a re-vote. It is a confirmation of a vote that has occurred, acknowledging that there was a technical malfunction, and one vote was not recorded in the electronic vote, and that vote will be acknowledged, and they will be allowed to confirm their vote.
guy in Argentina.
Thank you for that. I certainly pick up the point that we need to look at the procedures, but I think that is an issue where I should hand the chair back to Philip, and we need to have that debate anyway. To return to where we are now, I believe what you just stated is exactly along the lines that Ken proposed initially, and I would like to ask now if anybody is opposed to a ratification of the vote that was sent by mail, allowing for the fact that my vote wasn't recorded electronically but would be admitted now. Does anyone oppose that?
This is Peter. I'm opposed to that ratification. I'd like to take the vote again.
I'm sorry, Tony, I'm not clear on the issue before the council. What is the motion before the council right now?
The motion before the council was the ratification of the existing votes by email, but also allowing for the ratification of my votes now that was not received by email.
I think you posed the question in a little bit complicated way. I think there really are two alternatives. One is that we simply ratify by voice vote the email vote that took place as is, and the other would be that we do not, that we fail to do that and go on to a new vote on the same issue. So I think the question is, are we... If someone is asking, is there a motion to ratify the vote that was taken by email, then I'll make a motion to ratify the by voice vote, the vote taken by email, and if my motion passes, then the issue is done. If my motion fails, then we have no vote on this issue, and we have to go on to a new vote.
Just I believe that there are exactly three options rather than two. Roger, the first is the one that you clearly set out, which is a ratification of the existing email vote, just the email votes received. The second is the ratification of the email vote, allowing for the vote that wasn't received. And the third motion is a re-vote.
Oh, I see. You're creating a third option, which is ratified by voice vote, but not fully ratify it. Ratify it with a modification.
Yes.
A point of order, Gary, here. These are suggestions being made by the chair. I've only heard one motion of these three. I haven't heard any motion seconded.
Philip, can I get in queue?
I'll tell you,
I'm sorry, Tony, can I get in queue?
Yes, you may have to throw them out.
Even I am getting confused, but here's what I think the two options, let me go back to what I thought I said before, and I probably should have just said it as a motion then, so let me say it as a motion now. My motion is that we ratify the vote, including the vote that was transmitted but not received, which would mean all 21 votes, the abstention, the not received, the for and against, would be ratified.
I'd like to speak to Marilyn. I guess my motion was, evidently Marilyn offered a motion before I did mine because mine was different, but I'd like to speak to Marilyn's motion and oppose it. Be very clear that I do not oppose having a brand new vote. I think we should be sensitive to making up new procedures, but I think this level of creating new procedures is too much even for me. It's saying, well, we'll take we won't really ratify by voice vote the email vote that took place. We'll ratify it 99%, but we'll make one change in it. I mean, if you want a new vote, then let's just take a new vote. But let's not so compromise ourselves with creative procedures that it turns into a joke. Let's just say we won't ratify by voice vote and require a new vote. But
Philip, Tony, can I respond to that? Because I'm not quite understanding Roger's objection to my proposed motion.
Please respond, Marilyn.
As I understood the discussion so far, I thought what I detected was support for the idea of ratification with respecting Peter's comment, support for ratification of the full 21 votes, and that was the point that I made earlier in my intervention. What I thought you were saying, Roger, and I just want to be clear so that I understand, is that your motion, if you offered it, would be different than my motion?
Absolutely. I see really two alternatives. Either follow the standard procedures we've taken in the past and ratify by voice vote exactly what the email vote is, as is, with no changes. And if that motion fails, then we have no vote recorded on this issue, and we should proceed to a vote in the council session right now. So I see it as really two. The third alternative that I now understand is such a creative parliamentary, it's ratified by voice vote, the email vote that took place, but not really. Make one change to the email vote that took place, and it's just, it's too creative a procedural thing. Just have a new vote and I certainly don't oppose having a new vote, but I offer a motion to ratify by voice vote the recorded vote that's already taken, just so we have something to vote on and get on with this.
I withdraw my motion in that case to ratify the original vote if it's not going to include Tony Holmes' vote. Offer an amended motion that we take an entirely new vote.
I withdraw my motion so we can vote on Maryland's and let's get on with it.
I have a question for Louis Tuton. This is J. Scott Evans. Louis, is there any procedure set out in the bylaws to handle when a vote is not received or recorded in an electronic vote? And if not, has this situation ever occurred? And if so, how was it handled?
There is no procedure in the bylaws. The bylaws have a deliberation requirement, interactive meeting requirement.
Okay.
So the email votes are not official.
Okay.
Secondly, the rules adopted by the Business Council also do not include a discussion of email votes. Elizabeth may have to help me a little bit with my memory here. I believe that at the first election of names of board members by the Names Council, there was a email error that one of the members made. Elizabeth, do you recall, did that result in the vote not coming in or it being miscounted?
Thank you, Louis, for asking this question. We had a glitch. The vote was therefore opposed by the person who made the glitch and who was it was not exactly what he intended to vote. And then we had confirmation vote, and the confirmation vote was that each member were requested to say yes, I did vote that, or no, I did not intended to vote that. And after this second vote, we had the record that this person was unhappy, and then we restarted the next ballot. I wish also to add something. When we had elections for ICANN board, and still when we have elections for ICANN board, the secretariat is doing everything to be sure to have votes, even if people cannot vote by email because simply they are traveling on plane, in car, whatever place. And in such a situation, we have a telephone number, or secretariat is calling people and asking the vote and recording vote himself or herself. And if you recall, and I definitely recall, I've been calling myself people traveling and not being able to vote for ICANN board to have their voice recorded. We did not pay enough attention this time, I believe, to this aspect, and certainly it will be corrected in the future.
Thank you, Elizabeth. That clearly is something we do need to correct. I believe at this stage now we have one motion on the table that was initially from Roger to have another vote now. Could I have a seconder for that motion?
Oh, I called back on line one.
It's actually Marilyn's motion, but that's...
Okay. Could I have a seconder for Marilyn's motion, please?
I second. Chase got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Tony, sorry, is it a motion to vote again?
Yes.
That's sure. Exactly right.
Okay.
The motion is that we proceed to a new vote. So.
All right.
On point of order, Carrie is doing nothing but pointing of order today. Was the vote as it was cast so informal that we can simply discard it without moving and voting upon the motion to discard it?
That is a procedural question I'd like to refer to, Louis.
Yeah, please.
It's really up to the Names Council as to what vote they want to take in this meeting, whether you want to agree to put some limits on the ability of people to vote or not is just up to the Council.
Thank you, Louis. Then I believe we should, in that case, proceed with the motion proposed by Marilyn, seconded by J. Scott Evans. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
Abstentions?
Are you counting, Tony? Or
I'm going to have to come back and count quite clearly.
Okay. Can the motion please be stated again?
The motion is to proceed with another vote on the call. Another vote on the motion.
Now, can I, point of clarification here, if we vote against this, then we are voting to ratify the email vote that does not include Tony Holmes' vote. Is that right?
Well, it's a separate motion.
Yes, it is.
Okay. What then happened is I would move my motion to ratify by voice vote the email vote that took place exactly as is.
Yeah, as is.
If this motion passes, then we've agreed to proceed to a new voice vote.
Okay, Marilyn, did you want the floor?
No, I just wanted to offer that clarification. I'm in agreement with that clarification.
Okay, so I'd now return to the original motion. The motion would be to have a new vote on the call. Philip, you have the list of people. We obviously are going to have to count on this. Could I ask you to step us through the names? I don't have that information.
Yep, certainly. Let's start with, who called the motion? Marilyn Cade.
I vote in favor.
Grant Forsyth. Grant?
Yep, vote in favor.
J. Scott Evans?
I vote in favor.
Valence?
Yes, in favor as well.
Ellen?
I vote in favor.
YJ?
Objection?
Abstention?
Objection. So it means like a ratification? Yeah, objection.
You vote no?
Is that yes, no, or abstain?
Okay. I think you need to ask, I think you need to restate the motion, if you don't mind, so, for Tony, one of you.
Tony, please restate the motion.
The motion is to proceed with a vote on the motion that was put forward before, which I don't have in front of me, that was the subject of the electronic vote, to vote on this call.
I don't understand what you're saying. I thought the motion was to call a new vote, yes or no.
Yeah, right. That was
correct. That is what I was saying.
It's the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing.
So, I mean, okay. My vote is no.
Is no, right. And Vanny, you're holding a proxy for Vanny.
Yes, no for Vanny.
And no for Vanny. Milton.
Yes.
Ken. Ken Stubbs? I'll come back. Bruce?
Against.
Philip Gardenzer, that's a proxy with Ken, I'll come back. Peter DeBlanc?
Yes.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Oscar?
Yes.
Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Tony Holmes?
Yes.
And your proxy for Tony Harris?
Yes.
Roger?
I abstain.
Carrie?
Abstain.
Richard Tyndall?
No.
And back to Ken Stubbs?
I'm going to have to vote no on instruction from the constituency for both of us.
Okay, and is it a no for Ken and a no for Philip?
Yes. That's correct.
Fine, thank you very much. So I record that tally as my own vote will be yes is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no, and 2 abstentions. Total 21, which sounds about right. No, Mr. Chairman, that was 13 yes, 6 no, and 2 abstentions. I leave it to you to call the vote.
Thank you. The motion was carried. I believe on that basis we now should look towards calling for nominations for the chair, and we need to set a deadline for that.
All we're doing now is proceeding to a vote on the motion.
I beg your pardon.
And the rules.
I beg your pardon.
Right, so if I can get in queue after Roger.
Roger, please go ahead. Or was that your comment?
No, I was. I'll go after Marilyn. I do want to make a comment, but I was just sort of commenting on your.
Yes, I beg your pardon. Marilyn, go ahead, please.
I would like to have Glenn, if you can. I would propose that Glenn read into the record the language of the previous email motion, and that we vote on it.
Yes.
That is the one that was put by Caroline.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to make sure that that's okay with everyone else, but that's my motion. That's my recommendation.
Well, I think that's supposed to be what we just voted to do, wasn't it? We just voted to re-vote on the motion.
That's correct.
But I just thought that Roger wanted to comment.
No, I had only one thing. The whole reason that we're taking this vote instead of using an email vote is so that we can have a discussion. The whole point, as Louis has reminded us of this provision of the rules, is that there's a discourse where people hear different viewpoints that might not have occurred in email. So I don't think it would be proper to simply proceed directly to a vote. I think we should see if there is any discussion before doing so.
Okay. Thank you, Roger.
I would like to speak to this motion.
Milton, go ahead, please.
Yes, as you may have noticed, I voted to hold a revote because I thought it would be ridiculous to prevent Tony from voting. However, I'm going to vote against the actual motion, which, as a matter of fact, I did online. I think, again, as I said earlier, that this issue is being blown up out of proportion, but that it is bad practice to change the rules in this fashion, that we should elect a new chair according to the old rules, and then we should change the rules so that the rule changes are not affected by who we might think might be elected or not elected. And I think it's unfortunate that the reason I expressed some sympathy for changing the rules to begin with, because it wasn't clear that there was anybody willing to run or to take Philip's position, and that, of course, would have been absurd to exclude the only person who was clearly capable of doing the job. So that if it, in fact, turns out that there is no one willing to do the job, then we should... I guess we'd be forced to change our rules at that point, but the indications that I have is that there are possibly viable other candidates, and we should keep the six-month term, and we should follow our rules and then change them after we've settled the issue of who the current chair is.
Thank you, Martin. Is there anybody else in the queue?
Tony, Roger, I have a comment, too.
Go ahead, Roger.
I guess it's a rare occasion that I find myself in almost complete agreement with Milton, but I such is the case. I think the way he put it is permits me to be even briefer. The rule that we rotate the chair every 6 months with a two-term limit was put in place for good reasons. There's nothing at all to say that we couldn't or shouldn't change that rule in the future if we believe that the term should be extended. But it is, I believe, very bad form, very bad practice to change the rule on an ad hoc basis for an individual in this, you know, point in time, particularly when there's no emergency circumstance to justify it. I think it's really the same point about the credibility of the council in making up procedures that this doesn't it does not reflect well on the credibility of the council to do this. So for that reason, I would oppose it. I do not oppose the concept of changing the term limits on the chair in the future. I just oppose doing it on an ad hoc basis in this circumstance.
Tony, can I get in queue?
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I think that most of you know that I have posted separately a recommendation to the council that I had hoped we would discuss after this, but I'll reference it now, that I believe it is time that we must all remember that ICANN is, in fact, a toddler in terms of the number of years that it has been in existence. And that means that procedures that we establish and rules that we develop are need to be continually evaluated and assessed. We are not 102-year-old or whatever the length of time that the ITU has been around, Tony, organization, but a much younger organization and one that has a huge number of challenges. So I don't think we should assume that because we assess continually the need to evaluate existing rules and modify them, but that is in any way a failure. In fact, that is, I would think, a virtue of the situation that we are in as we build an organization. I do think that we need a robust and outside of an election time frame discussion about rules, the importance of the nature of the role of chair. And I think Milton sort of made a reference to a vision about the role of chair earlier as being very much a statesman and someone who needs to be able to step outside of the imperatives of a particular interest and guide a process. And I think that's what we all want to see going forward for the Names Council so that we can do our job of effective bottom-up policy development. But that is, I think, a discussion for the future, and that right now what I propose is that we move ahead with waiving this rule, which will let Philip stand, along with perhaps other interested candidates. We will elect a chair for only 6 months, and we will, in the meantime, debate what the right rules and procedures are, taking into account the learning that we've experienced over this 2 to 3 years of ICANN's life cycle.
Thank you, Mara.
Bruce Tolkien would like to be in the queue.
Please go ahead, Bruce.
I agree with what you're saying, Marilyn, on the issue of discussing the rules. However, that to me is a reason not to just waive a rule arbitrarily at any point in time. I mean, when you change a rule, we should have discussions as to why that rule should be changed, and we would vote on the change of a rule. But just waiving a rule defeats the purpose of having rules in the first place, and it in fact then descends into a personality issue, and you say, well, I happen to like this person, so I waive the rule, but I don't like this person, so I don't think the rule should be waived.
Tony, can I respond to that?
Please, sir.
I think that in fact, Bruce, this is not about personalities at all, and whether anyone likes or dislikes another person, that's not the role of the chair. And I think that was just a little, you know, you and I were just using different language, actually. I don't think that we are just waiving a rule. I think we're voting on changing a rule, which is, in fact, meeting the requirement that the Names Council consider making such a change. That's the purpose of the vote on the waiver.
Tony, can you put me in the queue, please?
Elizabeth as well.
Okay, Ken, please go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to say two things. Number one, I fully agree with what Marilyn has indicated with respect to revisiting this in the future. Number two, the problems that we had that have been created here were to some extent created by lack of communication. In listening to the comments from the various Names Council member, I find a very sad situation, and that is that many people originally intended on casting their votes on the basis that they didn't know whether anybody else was interested in running, and they didn't want to get stuck without somebody who was competent, capable of dealing with managing the Names Council in the future. This points to an inherent lack of communication, and I think points out what Louis was trying to, the point that Louis was trying to make in his email to the council, and that is that when we have issues in the future, we need to make sure that before we just arbitrarily cast votes, we do allow for adequate deliberation. The purpose is to build, as I said before, the purpose is to build a solid consensus, and I think this is where we failed at this point in time in not properly deliberating this thing, and that's frankly what has me concerned the most about this entire thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I believe that was your voice I heard in the queue.
Thank you very much, Tony. I wish to ask a comment. I've been here since the very beginning. It seems to me, as far as I recall, the very beginning of the Names Council, that such a short term and the rotation issue was important at that time, only because ICANN was set up for 2 years, and well, we were not really very naive, but we were figuring out that everything must be done within 2 or 3 years at most, which is of course not true. ICANN or whoever else managing internet is here for years. So this is first thing. The second thing, it is extremely difficult, I believe, and I've been observing and sitting here for a long time, as I said, to have a working structure, to actually define, figure out, and adopt, and discuss, and adopt the rules. It takes a long time, and it took to the Names Council quite a long time to have what we have, which is absolutely extraordinary, because we have something, and there is still a lot of work to be done. There is a lot of work to be done, and it is difficult. And that's the reason for which we are all working on these changes.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Are there any other comments before I ask Glenn to read out the motion on which we're going to vote? Glenn, could you please read the motion?
Yes, certainly. This vote is about waiving the NC Rules of Procedure as published in the NC Rules of Procedure version 4, and it is about the chairman, subsection 1.1. Solely for the purposes of the Names Council chair election taking place on February the 14th, 2002, the Names Council moves to waive the provision of section 1.1 of the Rules of Procedure for the DNSO, which prohibits a retiring NC chair from running for re-election for a period of 1 year.
Thank you, Glenn. Philip, I must beg you to assist once again with...
Do the roll call indeed. So your votes are Ease Mourincade.
I vote in favour.
Grant Forsyth.
I vote in favour.
J. Scott Evans.
I vote in favour.
Laws.
I am in favour.
Ellen.
I vote in favour.
YJ.
Abstention.
And for Vanny.
Abstention.
Milton. Ken. Ken Stubbs. I'll come back to you. Bruce.
Against.
Philip. Ken's proxy. I'll come back. Peter DeBlanc.
In favor.
Philip.
Ken, I hear you now. Your vote?
Yeah.
Ken.
No for myself and Philip.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Yes.
Oscar.
Yes.
Craig.
Yes.
Tony Holmes.
Yes.
And your vote for Tony Harris?
Yes.
Roger Cotetti?
No.
Carrie Carp?
No.
And Richard Tindall?
No.
And I shall vote yes. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no,
and 1-2 abstentions. It is also 21. So the count, Mr. Chairman, is 12 yes, 7 no, and 2 abstentions.
Thank you, Philip. The motion is carried. I believe at this stage now we need to call for nominations for the chair, and we need to set a deadline for those nominations. So what I would propose is that we set a deadline for nominations for February the 19th.
Tony, it's Marilyn. Can I make
Marilyn,
a comment?
Go ahead.
I believe, and we should ask Lee this, we may need to also note that we are extending the date of the election of the NC chair, and note that particular time frame in the minutes, and I don't know if we need to do anything more than noting that change.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Another point of order in that case. We just passed a motion that said we are going to be voting today. That motion was worded as a one-shot exemption for a vote to be held on the 14th of February.
I'm happy, and let me respond. I'm happy to do that. I just think we need to be clear. Either we need to vote today, or
I'm not suggesting we vote today. I agree that we shouldn't vote today, but we committed a little formal blunder here. That motion that we just passed pertains to an election that we're not going to be holding.
That's correct.
Tony, can I be in queue?
Yes, please do. Please go ahead, Marilyn.
That motion that was just passed, we could actually hold nominations on right now and hold an election, but I think that's probably not the will of the NC. So I think we could easily extend the period, identify the dates for nomination and the votes and the time for an email vote or the time for a conference call, and do all of that in the next 5 minutes, hopefully, so we can move to next item.
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that we defer the nomination and election from February 14th to the following guidelines. I'm going to request that we extend it one day because we have a long weekend in the United States and there may be a problem for communication. I would propose that the nomination period for Names Council Chair be opened immediately and extend through the close of, let's make it 2400 UTC February the 20th, with an election to be held immediately following the nomination, the election to be open for a period. Glenn, what do we normally do, 5 or 7 days for elections?
10 days is the minimum. To okay, allow then. Everybody to vote.
Okay, then we'll hold the election immediately for the time period as prescribed, 10 days, and that's my motion.
This is Louis. May I be in queue?
Please go ahead.
Yes, just to understand the motion fully, is there any aspect of this motion that addresses Carrie Karp's comment that the waiver you just voted only applies to an election held today?
So I didn't hear that within the motion as stated by Ken.
No, it isn't. At this point in time, I'm becoming so confused by the nuances here that I'm almost in a position where I'm going to have a lawyer draft the motion in order not to step on the previous motion, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, Carrie, this is Jay Scott Evans. Carrie does make a valid point. In the body of the motion, it says, following the results of the names you vote to waive, and it talks about February 14th, solely for the purpose of the election taken on February 14th. That's what Caroline's motion says.
Yeah, because the motion was supposed to be adopted, or at least it was supposed to be voted before. But we can change the date.
You'll take an amendment, huh?
And that's what I understood, too. That's one of the reasons we voted no, because I didn't want to have an election immediately today as well.
Tony, can I be in queue?
I believe you have the floor, Marilyn.
So So let's just try to problem solve productively here as the Names Council. We can take an amended motion incorporating an amended time frame, and I guess I would ask Ken if you might entertain a friendly amendment of if people feel that we need to have an extended period for the election, for the nomination and election, that's fine. If people feel that we could have a shortened time frame, and that would, I think, need to be a group consensus to do that, but we could easily modify the motion to incorporate the extension of the nomination and election period, similar to what Ken has proposed.
Thank you, Marianne. The current motion that was proposed was to have the nominations from the chair accepted from now until 2400 UTC on February the 20th, with an election following immediately to be completed within the 10-day time frame. Would you like to propose an amendment to that now, Marilyn?
If someone who is looking at a calendar can kind of, today is the 14th.
The 20th is on Wednesday.
Thank you. And then the 10-day period would end when?
March 2nd.
March 2nd. Before we go to a motion, do people feel that we need that extended period for the nomination and election period? Could we take discussion on that?
Harry, with a question, I won't preface with the usual preface. Is the 10-day period stipulated in any one of our rules of procedure? Because if it is, either we're going to need to exempt to... we're going to have to act to exempt ourselves from that rule, too, or
sure.
We're going to run a little.
Excuse me, this is Ellen Shankman. Can I get into queue?
Go ahead, Ellen.
Has the decision about whether or not this has to be a voice vote or an email vote been finished, or is we are after we've decided to extend all this period, we're still stuck with the decision on whether or not the email vote counted?
Currently, I believe nothing has changed from the current procedures.
So, actually, Tony, I'm not sure that even I understood your response.
I'm sorry, I realize that this is the novice speaking, but what does
okay.
that mean?
We have not changed the procedures by which we run the election in terms of actually processing the vote. So it would be exactly as is now, unless there is an amendment to change that in the interim.
So for a new election, Ellen, Tony, as I understood this, if I could just restate this and you could clarify, for a new election, we would have a nomination. The nomination would be open. Nominations are done by to Glenn, who posts them. We would then have the opening of a ballot. We would have an email vote, and then we would have a ratification by voice vote of the email vote. Is that
correct? Correct.
Ellen, let me go. So I think Carrie raises a good point. And Elizabeth, Louie, Glenn, those of you who are sort of our parliamentarians, in our rules, we do specify these time frames. Is that correct?
Philip here to comment. No, in our rules of procedure, there is nothing describing the actual process of election for the chair. All we have is established practice relating to various votes that we've taken over various times.
Elizabeth,
go ahead, please.
It is just the best practice established over time within, for instance, General Assembly voting for various delegates to various task forces. The vote is usually 1 week. It was estimated that 1 week is fairly sufficient for electronic vote. And if the Names Council could accept that 1 week is a correct period of time, then we can probably manage everything. Have 1 week for nominations, 1 week for vote, and then we need to have ratification somewhere between the 1st of March and 5th of March, before the people take plane to Ghana.
This is Ken Stubbs. Since it's my motion, can I restate my motion with an amendment there, please, Tony?
Please go ahead, Ken.
Let's throw this out. Let's see if we can't resolve this. First of all, what are we talking about? We're talking about nominating somebody and electing them.
in the past, the elections have always been done at council meetings by voice votes. Why don't we hold the nomination, close the nomination on a date like the 20th, have a names council teleconference scheduled, and a short teleconference scheduled in which we actually physically vote at that teleconference and ratify our votes right there, right then. We can get it all done before the end of the month. And if somebody can't make the teleconference, they can give their proxy to someone who can make the teleconference. This saves us a ratification phone call. And for heaven's sakes, we're just electing the chairman of the Names Council. This is not an ICANN board member where we have to go back between votes in order to get consultations. Does that make sense to everyone?
Tony, can I offer a comment to Karen?
Please go ahead.
Brilliant.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn.
Right.
I'm very keen to actually try and move ahead. Milton, was that?
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get around all of this. Let's have a vote and let's worry about the procedures for the vote. Let's just have an election, nominations, close the nominations, schedule a teleconference in which we actually vote at that teleconference by voice vote and get it all done at one time that way.
Thank you.
Sorry, with a question to Louis.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Gary, a question to Louis simply. Is there anything in the ICANN bylaws that constrains us from taking the action that's just been proposed?
As long as the vote is, that the official vote is taken in an interactive meeting, it should be fine.
Thank you, Louis. Ken, I'd like to come back to you. I wonder if you could offer the motion with the appropriate words to pick up on the issue of the last motion and the date we set, and to go forward on the basis of nominations up until the 20th, followed by a teleconference vote.
Okay.
Tony, before we go there, Carrie asked a question early on, that, and Louis asked it again, and I don't know if it's been answered. And that question is, given that Caroline's motion was specific to the election on the 14th, it is now passed. The election will not be held on the 14th. All right, so the waiver that we passed was only for election held on the 14th. We need to have that, the waiver issue, incorporated into any new motion.
Correct, and I thought that's what I just asked,
okay.
Ken, to include.
All right,
in
I'm not confused.
This is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
I have a question, if I may, for clarification. What do you mean, if you understand that the vote is just vote, yes, no, or make a choice of person, actually you are correct. But if one understands that the vote includes nomination and votes, which actually is in every vote, it may be that Caroline's motion could be read differently. I am not a lawyer.
Tony, can I get in too?
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Maybe we could focus for a minute on the intent of the motion that was just passed and Jay Scott and Carrie's comments. And I believe the intent of the motion just passed would be something like the following. The intent was to enable a waiver so that the present chair could stand as well as other standing. That is, the present chair could stand for an election. That would include the process, I believe, of nomination and election. And so my interest, that I believe was the intent. And so I think that the modification of the motion that I would hope to see from Ken would be to incorporate that intent. And Ken, I know this will be tough and we may have to wordsmith this. The intent of that motion as well as Ken's modified time frame would go into this particular motion.
Gary, speak, please.
Go ahead, please.
Wouldn't it be kind of the easiest thing in the world simply to move to extend the deadline that was incorporated in the original motion rather than have all these mongrel things that become more and more difficult to interpret? And the intent of the motion is indeed absolutely obvious. And I'm surprised that we didn't word the motion accordingly, but a subsequent motion specifically addressing that issue, I think, would be cleaner than baking the wording into what Ken's talking about.
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. I'd have to agree with Carrie. And first of all, I'd like to say one thing, and that is, unfortunately, we don't have the benefit of staff to help us go through a lot of this stuff prior to actually holding a meeting like the ICANN board does. So we have to kind of work through this. So I'm going to ask if, for the moment at least, please, if Philip Shepard would take, would consider chairing this part, because I'm going to make a motion which I think can go very quickly, Philip Shepard. I'd like to move that the deadlines originally referred to in the previous, that we previously approved, that this election be deferred to a, for a period no longer than March 1. And I, notice, Philip, I used the word no longer than March 1. Can I get a second for that motion? All we're doing is what Kerry indicated there.
I'll second the motion. Attorney Holmes.
I call for the question.
This is Bruce Tongue. I'm not quite understanding the motion. This is a motion. We still need to go back to that original motion and perhaps vote on an amended motion, which is that the chair, the rule will be waived for an election to be held on 1st of May. You've got to sort of do two things, I think.
Well, what I was doing, Bruce, in effect, was this. We already approved a motion to hold the election today, okay? And the waiver was a waiver of the rules for the election today.
Correct.
All I'm saying is that the election that was originally scheduled as part of that waiver be deferred for a period of 10 days.
This is Louis. May I speak?
Yes, Louis.
That's fine. May I suggest that some member of the council make the following motion?
Yeah, sure.
That is that the waiver just of rules just approved by the council be extended to apply to any election held before March 1st of this year.
This is Judge Scott Evans. I move that the motion that just carried, that was originally submitted by Carolyn Chicoine of the Intellectual Property Constituency, was voted on, be amended to read that the waiver will apply to any named council chair election which takes place on or before March 1st, 2002.
And Stubbs second.
Call the question.
So, do you want to try a voice vote on that rather than a roll call? Yes, I think it hopefully will ease things and move us along. Those in favour?
Aye.
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 Those against? Abstentions? The motion is carried. Ken, I believe we could now return back to the motion you were working on prior to that to set the time frame to move us on.
Yes, okay. Thank you. I'd like to move that the nominations period for the chairman for the Names Council for the next six-month period be opened immediately, and that the period nominations will remain open until 2400 UTC on February the 20th. I would also instruct the chairman of the current chairman of the Names Council to call for a teleconference for a formal vote by the Names Council on the candidates no later to be held no later than March 1st. I would now that the motion's over, I would strongly suggest that we give that the chairman give a period of at least 3 working days for deliberations after the nominations close. So, but I would hope that would be a clear enough motion.
Thank you, Ken. Comments on the motion? Could I ask for a seconder?
Seconded. Chair Scott.
Thank you. Then I believe we should call the vote. To start with, to try and move this forward, could I ask for those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those against? Abstention? And the motion is carried. At this stage, Philip, I believe it's appropriate to hand back to you, and I apologise for eating into your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much for chairing this extraordinary session of the Names Council. We would indeed proceed as agreed. I'll suggest immediately, let me just test the waters by suggesting same time on Thursday 28th for the call where we would actually take the votes. That gives us a few days after close of nominations and is indeed before March 1st. Suit people?
What day would that be? March the 28th?
It's Thursday, 28th of March.
Okay. I'm not going to be in the U.S., so I just need to get that. Okay.
Okay. That sounds okay to people, so just take that as a note for the diary so we can all make best endeavors to make.
I'm assuming that will be an incredibly short call for the purpose solely of casting the votes. And is that correct, Philip?
That is certainly my hope.
Philip, did you say March?
If I did, that was a mistake. It's supposed to be February 28th. Of course, the last day of February. February, Thursday, 28th. Okay. We also had a couple of points under this item originally scheduled, which I suggest we defer, and that is the longer-term question of changes around the chairmanship election. I think we're probably well done on that subject for the moment, but I will endeavour as chair or suggest to my successor that those discussions are taken in a future meeting, and propose we move on now to the rest of the items to do as quickly as we can. And item four is the issue of a waiting list and deletes. And in a moment I'm going to ask Louis to say a few words. Before I do that, I understand there's been commentary on the list from both the IP and the business constituency, and perhaps representatives of those constituencies might want to say something to us first, and perhaps the first sentence could be an encapsulation of the issue itself.
What to do with it?
You?
No.
Who would like to speak? Anybody from the BC or anybody from the IP constituency?
I'll speak for the BC. I don't know if the IPC wants to speak.
Okay, Mary, go ahead with Ash,
let me just recapitulate what the BC's recommendation was, and it was in partly a response to a exchange of email that involved Caroline Chicoine, who also posted. The view of the BC is that the issues related to deletions and waiting list service offerings have an impact broadly on all of the users of the Internet. And our recommendation really is that we need a broader understanding of the issues related to deletions of names and waiting lists that brings the entire Names Council up to a platform of understanding so that we can then better examine what decisions, if any, we might recommend. For instance, within the BC, our dialogue has included debates about whether changes in waitlisting services or practices of waitlisting services involve changes in policy and how names are handled, etc. And the view of the BC is we believe that all users are affected by these kinds of changes, and we would recommend to the Names Council the following suggestion, that we ask the staff to work with a list of volunteers from the Names Council to plan an informative, neutral briefing on these issues, which would include an exploration of the technical issues, the service offerings that are proposed, but not solely focused on the service offerings, but also on the issues. And we try to put that together, hold that in a two-hour session in Ghana, and educate all of us in the Names Council broadly so that we then can deliberate on what recommendations related to policy we might make.
Okay, Mary, thank you. Any comments from the IP constituency?
This is J. Scott Evans. I think that we, the IPC, agree with Marilyn's position that there needs to be a broader understanding of the issues so that all constituencies that will be affected, and we believe all constituencies will be affected, will have an informed basis on which to suggest policy or any service offerings that might be provided in this area.
Okay, so you support the idea of having a session on this in Ghana?
Yes.
During our meetings, yeah. Okay, thanks. Louis, some comments for you on that or other issues that you're aware of and I can that we should be aware of?
I will only very briefly cover it because of the lateness of the hour. There have been a variety of issues that arose in the middle of last, beginning in the middle of last year, having to do with the manner in which deletions of domain names are handled. The first place they occurred, or that they came to everyone's attention, had to do with some technical issues at the VeriSign registry that was beginning to prevent some registrars from gaining access to the registry. A variety of temporary solutions have been implemented around the time of the Montevideo meeting, and since then there have been a very robust discussion in the registrar's constituency particularly about various proposals for ways to either partly or in some cases completely address these issues. They are very complex. They have involved, in terms of the discussion so far, mainly two aspects. One is ways of addressing the technical challenges raised by the deletions of names that result in a very high demand, and secondly, the various service offerings proposed or implemented by either registrars or proposed by the VeriSign registry. Recently, there has also been a rising incidence that we have seen at the staff level of user problems with inadvertently or mistakenly deleted names and the like, and users who had names, they became deleted without their attention or knowledge, and have resulted in some fairly unfortunate situations. So that's just a general overview of the landscape of the problem.
Okay, so at the moment we are with this issue are suggesting we have further discussion, and that will be in Ghana, and we'll talk about scheduling of that in a second under item 6. And it may be that perhaps then we'll be in a position to take a decision as to where any further work on this should be done. One option, of course, would be the transfers task force. Another would be setting up an independent group to look at that. But perhaps deferring action until we learn some more about it seems to be what is being suggested at the moment. Other comments on that before we leave this issue?
Philip, Roger, just a brief comment to, and
yep.
That is on any, I think it is important for the council to be mindful of the fact that our mandate, our responsibility is to address policy issues, so that any discussion of a practice or an issue that arises in any registry or registrar, that the proper role for the council is to determine whether or not there are policy issues and to address policy issues and not sort of, you know, a million other things that may be of interest to anyone but not really are within the scope of the council's responsibility. So just a comment on the discussion that might take place.
Well, I think that's a useful clarification, because certainly where there are technical changes suggested, then I think the first analysis there needs to be, do these have policy implications? That should be the first question we ask ourselves before we go down the road of further analysis. Other comments? No, if not, then I propose that we leave that issue.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Roger, are you able to tell us what the current timetable is with VeriSign Registry's plans, or would you rather do that separately?
No, I don't think that's appropriate for the council discussion right now anyway.
Okay, other comments, or do we leave this issue?
Philip, it's Marilyn. In leaving the issue, will you restate what our agreement is, and are we in agreement that we're asking the ICANN staff to work with other interested parties to organize such a briefing?
Yes, I think we're saying that we had warmed the suggestion of having a session on this in Ghana, and we're discussing exact timetabling of that in a moment under item 6.
Okay, thanks.
I think sounds a good plan. Okay, let's move on to item 5. This is who is referral from ICANN. There was some correspondence from Louis. Perhaps, Louis, you could just encapsulate the request very quickly, and then we'll see what best to do with that.
Yes. Very quickly, there was a request for reconsideration by Vario, Inc., regarding a change in the Registrar Accreditation Agreement having to do with bulk WIS obtained from registrars and marketing uses for it. The ICANN Reconsideration Committee recommended that the board not take any action at this time to revise the current Registrar Accreditation Agreement as requested by Vario, but instead refer the issues raised by Vario to the DNSO. The ICANN board approved that recommendation of the Reconsideration Committee, and pursuant to that, I sent the letter on the 22nd of January to the Names Council, referring the issues raised in the Vario letter for the names for the DNSO's consideration, and of course the Names Council is the body responsible for management of the consensus building process within the DNSO, has charge of that now.
Okay, before I open that comment, it sounds to me like this may well be something that we could refer to our who is task force. Perhaps before we move down that route, can I just ask representatives of the task force if it's something that they would be willing to take on if we instructed them as a council to add this to their terms of reference?
Philip, I can speak only for Tony and myself as the co-chairs. I did discuss it with him, and then I would, you know, if there are other folks on the call who want to comment on it, let's take that as well. We are willing to take it. We have discussed it briefly with the task force and told them that it is very possible that the Names Council would choose to make that referral, and the task force would be happy to take it should that be the will of the NC.
Okay, thank you, Mara, for that. Questions or comments?
Yeah, just Philip, it's Laurence. Would like to. I'm a member of the Who is Task Force, and well, I fully agree with Meridian. This is something that the Who is Task Force should deal with, and that we should continue to discuss this this issue, which is really important. Not related to IP directly, of course, but it's certainly important for internet users. So I think it's certainly the role of the task force to work on that.
Okay. Is everybody happy with the idea of that referral, or does anybody like to be against that? Make another comment.
I have a comment. This is
Milton. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I think this bulk WHOIS issue is really quite different from the fundamentally the privacy, the intellectual property issues that have been dealt with by the existing task force, and I think a new task force should be composed to deal with this referral.
Actually, can I respond before you take other comments? Because I need to offer a clarification to what Milton just said.
Go ahead.
The work of the Who is Task Force is not limited to IP issues at all. It is focused on the present uses of Who is, which are very broad and a significant, and is at presently concluding the analysis of a survey, which I would summarize sort of one of the hot buttons as being response from the number of respondents who have responded directly about bulk mail and marketing. Our charter includes making recommendations about what changes, if any, are needed in relation to Who is and the current practices and policies. So I believe for that reason this does fit squarely in the purview of the task force, but I'd be very interested in hearing from others.
Richard, I agree with Marilyn. This is J. Scott Evans. Given that the position that several governments have taken, including the European Commission, I think this falls squarely under the issue of privacy. And for that reason, I think that even under Milton's understanding of the terms of reference for the Who is task force, this seems to fall within their purview.
Okay, just go thanks for that. Other comments?
Yeah, if I could just respond, I think my understanding of the existing Who is task force was that it was tasked to do this survey and to prepare a report on the results of the survey. Is that correct?
Actually, can I clarify?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that one of the things that may have happened is that because the survey has become the total work focus right now, that the original mission and scope of the task force has been lost. So it is not limited to that. That happened to be the vehicle that was agreed to by the task force to do the data gathering upon which we would make further recommendations. A considerable amount of our concern will be addressing what government's concerns are and users' concerns are about the use of the data.
I think, again, this is Richard, I think, you know, the registrars are probably quite an interested party in this as well, as under the current rules, any entity can oblige them to sell their customer database. I imagine the registrar community has a view on this as well, Marilyn.
I agree.
I'm sorry about the Richard. Me, the only decision here is we have an existing a task force charged with who issues, and they have experience already in some of the underlying issues there. Is it best that we defer a related issue to them, or to set up a new group of new volunteers who may be doing other things as well? And I think my own feeling is, in terms of administration, it would be better to use your existing group, and we're hearing some support from that from others, but some more comments on that.
This is YJ.
YJ.
Well, actually, I sympathize with like Melin and Milton. So I think the only concern here is the how time conscious for the matter which is presented by this huge referral from ICANN. So if this needs to be solved like in a very timely manner, I think in some sense Milton's comment might be correct, because if we see the progress of WHIS task force, which also covers quite various topics, including probably this one, but it may take quite a while to cover this issue more extensively. So I just wanted to get some clarification from Louis, how time like conscious regarding this matter.
Before Louis responds, can I add a second question that he could respond to at the same time, maybe?
Yes.
What's being addressed, I believe, would be changes that would affect the registries and registrars and all users fairly broadly. And for that reason, I think probably need the input, finding, and consideration and output of the task force itself. So I'd like for Louis to comment on that understanding on my part.
Louis, can you comment on those last 2 points?
Yes, first with regard to YJ's question, the referral does not have any schedule associated with it, so that planning of any consideration of the issues that are raised by the varial letter is open-ended without any particular deadline. Secondly, I'm not completely sure I understood all of Marilyn's question, but let me just say that as I understand the issues, the Vario issues are very similar to those I think that are raised in question 17 of the Who Is survey, and I had thought they were in fact already under consideration by the committee.
Okay, Louis, thanks for that. I'd like to make a proposal, if I may, that we refer this issue to the Who Is task force. We call on the task force to report back by email to the Names Council within 14 days of the way they intend to deal with that request, I just thoughts in terms of the timetable, etc., that you might put on that and how it relates to the existing work, so we have that clarification as to how you will work on that. And can I ask for those in favour and those against of that proposal? So the proposal is to defer this issue to the WHO's task force and to ask them to report back within 14 days as to how they intend to deal with it. Those in favour, please say aye.
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 Those against, please say no. Those abstaining, please abstain.
Abstain.
That's both abstaining, was it? Yep. Okay, I record one abstention and all in favour for that. And we move on to item six, meetings in Ghana. We have been joined on this call by Alexander Svensson from the General Assembly. Alexander, welcome.
Yep, thanks.
I have been working with Alexander and some other names, council members, to look at the program for Ghana in terms of the meetings. And we've been aware over the last number of physical meetings that we've had that a number of constituencies have got together for information meetings, which have been very useful. And we were working with Alexander to see if we can integrate those information meetings within to the body of the General Assembly meetings, thus bringing the GA back to very much its original envisaged function. And Alexander is the person who is organizing the GA meetings there. We are looking at the possibility of changing dates a little. As you're aware, we normally have a constituency day, a DNSO day, and then two board days. And one option would have been to use the shared information day or information part with the General Assembly day and have that possibly on the first day, leaving a second day for Names Council and an additional information session that the ICANN Chief Executive have requested. But perhaps before I go on to that point further, Alexander, you could just take us down where you are so far with the various sessions of the General Assembly meeting.
Yes, thanks. Currently, we have been on planning sessions instead of reports from the representatives, since we thought that the Names Council task forces will already have a place in the Names Council discussion. So we were planning on a .org perspective session, one session concerning at-large and DNSO, and we also had the waitlist service on our agenda. Obviously, there will be an open forum for all other issues.
Okay. Now, in terms of timetabling, I understand that it would be okay, and perhaps Glenn, you could help on this, if we were to have the DNSO in the afternoon of Monday, that would work in terms of room availability, and we need to check in a moment to see if that's going to fit with meetings clashes. But that would be a practical possibility, is that correct?
They have given us for the big room called the Adeyekezi, and that would be, that room is already booked for the Names Council on the 12th. That would be Monday, so we would have to find out.
No, it's Tuesday the 12th,
sorry. So we would have to find out if they could then do it on the Monday.
Okay, but possibly.
I'm a question. Hello?
Hello, you speak?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had a question first.
Go ahead.
Normally we have the GA before the Names Council, in order to take advantage of the exchange of information that takes place there. The meetings today are, the informal meetings open on Sunday. And right now the Names Council is scheduled for when?
Tuesday.
Tuesday
yeah. From 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock.
Right.
And back again from 2 to 5.
Right.
Yes, we had an option. In order to accommodate the request from Stuart Lynn for a special presentation on higher-level naming systems during the DNSO day, in order to have that and the Names Council meeting and a General Assembly meant splitting the Names Council meeting over lunch. And therefore, one option would be to move the GA forward to the Monday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
which would make sense if it could incorporate a number of the information sessions that constituencies would want either way.
Mm-hmm.
And my question for the meeting now is, are constituencies, however, planning all-day meetings, or at least meetings on the afternoon of Monday, which would therefore exclude them from participation in those GA sessions?
Comment, Philip. Ken Stubbs.
Ken, go ahead.
First of all, the schedules for the constituencies call for meetings both in the morning and the afternoon, and in many cases, that day is used for cross-constituency consultancies, and it does provide opportunities for members of one constituency to sit in on meetings of another constituency, as most of the meetings are public. If we switch the meeting to Monday, then we deprive the constituencies of their opportunity for doing just that. So I think you're going to run into a bit of a problem in all of a sudden boxing all the constituencies into a specific time slot there. Also, there are members of the GAC, not GAC, well, but of the CCTLDs that have in the past attended various constituency meetings and vice versa. So I think this is the only opportunity that the constituencies have for cross consultations, and it's very difficult to stifle that. That's the whole idea behind these meetings.
Understood, Ken. Alexander, point of clarification on the sort of the draft options that have now been put out on ICANN announce, which was based on one scenario that we discussed. The GA is scheduled on Tuesday from 9 to 11. That's just 2 hours. Is that sufficient time?
I've been talking to Thomas Roessler, and we were planning about 2.25 to 2 hours and a half. We're not quite sure because we still don't have the names of everyone participating, so we understand that the attendance is not quite as high as in previous meetings, so we're not quite sure who will be there.
Sure, and one of the reasons I think that we had been suggesting the idea of blending some of our information meetings in the GA was precisely this recognition that GAAN is likely to have a lower attendance. Other comments on the options we've been talking about from other constituencies?
YJ.
And we'll just take a list first, perhaps, and then we'll get some comments. So YJ for the non-commercial. Elizabeth, do you see other constituencies you want to comment?
I have a question at the end, Phil.
And then Marilyn. Anybody else? No? Then YJ, please go ahead.
Well, non-commercial constituency also have such kind of conflict with GA session because our constituency very much like to cross-talk with other constituencies this time. And another possibility we can probably consider is to combine General Assembly with the informational session together. So, for example, like General Assembly, as Melvin pointed out, sort of designed to provide some kind of open forum to exchange information. And I think special information session was provided to satisfy such specific demand. So if we can sort of agree the combination between the General Assembly and the special information session on the open DNS system or whatever, especially I guess keyword in this time, and also like it would be much appreciated to have more specific plan for what kind of information session is about.
Right, yeah, sure. I think we agree with that. Elizabeth.
Thank you, Philip. Actually, my comment would be quite similar to the one by YJ. I am looking on the scheduled agenda in Ghana, and there is a session 2 hours for General Assembly, then 2 hours plus lunch plus 1 hour for the names council, which I don't like at all, and then we have 3 hours for the special presentation. I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe that putting in the morning together General Assembly followed by this special presentation, starting at 8:30 and ending at 1:30, which is 5 hours, is first part of the day, and the second part of the day after lunch is the Names Council. And with this kind of organization, we preserve some coherency, and we allow for constituency meeting on Monday.
Right, but that's not a bad alternative. Marilyn?
Actually, I'm very much in support of the same concept, because I do think the above the DNS naming options, which is what the special session is on, I think it's very important for all of us to sort of have a an educational tutorial on. Although we in the BC have had a couple of sessions on this, short briefings from outside guests we've invited, I think that I know that the technical folks in the registry and registrar constituency have probably looked more in depth at it. I think broadly the community could benefit from this discussion. But I think it may also inform us in our consideration of other issues related to ICANN. So if we could do the GA first, starting very early on Tuesday, so that we could have the benefit of cross-discussion, and then the informational session, and then perhaps we do just a sandwich lunch as the Names Council, so that we could start promptly at 1 o'clock or 1:30, then we could have a very busy but productive day.
Okay, that's a matter, but your suggestion was that we still keep the order GA Names Council higher layer session rather than Elizabeth's idea, which was having a higher layer session first.
No, I was agreeing with Elizabeth.
Right.
Philip and yes. Marilyn, I do believe that there is enough time to have a lunch and not sandwich.
Okay.
If I may friendly amend your motion.
but
that might work, actually. I mean, supposing we, Alexander was saying earlier that they may need up to 2.5 hours for the GA. Supposing we started at 8:30 to 11,
mm-hmm.
we had the higher level naming systems from, say, 11 to, let's give it 2.5 hours only, to 1:30, break for lunch, and then we could still have the NC at something like 1500.
Absolutely.
That would be for 3 hours, right?
Yeah. Okay, let's go back. Alexander, would that work for you then, just in terms of the parameters, the GA on Tuesday the 12th from 8:30 to 11?
Yes, I think that would be, unless there's some obstacles from ICANN,
yeah.
That would be fine.
Okay, that's quite promising, and that accommodates the questions that were raised earlier by Ken and others in terms of losing out on cross pollination possibilities on the day earlier, on Monday the 11th. Is everybody happy with that as the framework for these 2 days of meetings, the 11th and the 12th of March?
No problem from the ISPs, Philip.
Okay, Tony, thanks for that. So that sounds good in terms of the framework, and then I'm assuming that what we discussed earlier, which is this briefing session on waiting list and deletes, is what was envisaged by the third item on the GA list. Is that correct, Alexander?
Exactly, yes.
And you're working with ICANN staff and others on people to speak for that, are you?
We have tried to contact people from the registrar's constituency. We've just been in contact with Ross Rader and from VeriSign to have a presentation on the background and the criticism. Of course, if that expands into an ICANN informative session too, that will be fine.
I think Alexander could help us understand this. What we were proposing in the NC was a informational session about deletions, of which waitlisting services is one part of the discussion, but not the total focus.
would it be acceptable to you to expand it in that way?
Yes, that would be fine. Waitlist service is, of course, the most controversial at the current moment, but deletion is the bigger picture.
Yep, I think that sounds excellent. Well, Pat Mallon, we could ask you then, in your role as interim chair of the task force on transfers, to liaise with Alexander on content for that on the behalf of the NC.
I'd be happy to do that, but I would like us to be able to have an acknowledgement that we're going to be consulting with ICANN staff in the development of this.
Louis, can you acknowledge that?
Yes, that would be fine if that's the wish.
Excellent. That sounds like we have most of the basic structures done. Are there any other comments or questions on what we've discussed so far in relating to the framework of the meetings and the content of the GA meeting? No. Are there any other questions concerning Ghana in general? And while you think about that, let me just check on a roll call of who is and who will not be in Ghana. Glenn sent a email to the council on the 5th of... on the 5th of February, in which indications at that point, I think, were 11 attendees and 7 unable to come. Perhaps we can just go down the list quickly and check that is still the case. Peter de Bronk, you are not coming, is that correct?
It's unknown. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. We can hear you. Are you there? It's unknown right now, Philip. I got some surgery recently in Miami, and I'm supposed to hang around the area, and I'm not sure if Ghana is the most appropriate place, but I won't be able to make that decision until about March 1st.
Sure. Thank you, Peter. That's what I understood. Elizabeth, we have you as a yes.
I will be attending.
Thank you. Oscar, we have you as a no. Oscar, is that correct? You will not be with us? Confirmed. Myself is a yes. Marilyn, we have you as a yes.
Yes.
Grant, we have you as a no.
That is correct. I will not be attending.
Roger, we have you as a yes.
Yes, I will be attending.
Richard, we have you as a yes.
Yeah, I'm a yes at the moment, but that may change this weekend.
Understood. Carrie, we have you as a yes. Tony Harris is a question mark, I understand, still?
Correct.
Tony Holmes, have you as a yes?
Yes, I certainly didn't have all those shots for nothing.
Greg, I have you as a no.
That's Greg.
Milton, I have you as a no.
On the Names Council in...
All right. Okay, so in fact, that could apply, as I understand, what Joe was saying earlier, in fact, to all members of the current non-commercial representative. Is that correct?
That's right. We believe in rotation in office, Philip.
And do you have any feeling as to... Okay, we haven't had an election, Jess. We don't know if your new representative will us or not. We can find out in due course. Ken, I have you as a yes.
Yeah, 5 shots and 3 prescriptions worth.
Philip Carpentry, I had as a yes. So you're able to confirm that, anybody?
Yes, he is attending.
Perfect. Bruce, I have you as a yes.
That's right. Still working on the logistics of visas and airfares and so on.
Yep. That must be fun for Melbourne, I guess. Jay Scott Evans, I have you as a no.
Not coming.
Laurence, I have you as a yes. Is that correct, Laurence?
Laurence may have left the call, but she is attending.
Oh, that's right. She mentioned she was indeed maybe going off and she left a proxy, I understand. Ellen, I have you as a no. Is that correct?
Correct.
Fine. So that is that. That's about the same tally then, so we would still be quiet just. So please do mail the council if any of your plans change. So that we know, because if we're going to have a meeting that will be technically in court, we would need to be made aware of that. We're also making arrangements for a telephone link, but I haven't had any feedback as to the possibility or likely cost of that. I understand costs can go up quite dramatically, the number of lines added. Glenn, have you had any information on that as yet, or are you still working on it?
No, I haven't got any information. I'm still working on it.
Okay.
And I think that probably concludes this item on Ghana, unless there are other comments.
I thought Ken had raised a question earlier about...
Ah, he did. Thank you. Marilyn, yes. As you saw, may have seen on the list, I posted a request for webcasting sponsorship to cover a full DNSO day of about 12,500. I understand webcasting may be different or a different provider in Ghana to our usual providers. And if we do not find sponsorship money, the DNSO will not be webcast. If that is the case, of course, we will have Glenn in attendance who will be taking the formal minutes and notes of DNSO meetings. But it may also be useful to arrange to have a recording as well. I think that's what you're suggesting, Ken, isn't it?
That's correct. I noticed that this session is recorded by Philippe Renault. And if we are going to have a teleconference while the meeting is in attendance, the Names Council meeting in Ghana, then it would be a relatively minimal cost to have it recorded as well by someone like Philippe, or if not, let me know, and I could probably prevail on Brett Falk to take one or the other.
Okay, now I'm sure Philippe could do that so long as we have the possibility of a telephone hookup. So we'll take that on board with the investigations, Glenn, that you're making on our behalf. Other comments on Ghana?
Fine,
this is Jen, January 22nd. Why am I getting it now?
Can I ask, David, can we move on to the next topic?
Yep, indeed. I think I'm happy to move on. So I thought there was some relevant comment, but I think it was a bit of background noise. That completes item six. Item seven, UDRP and chairmanship. As you're aware, the UDRP task force is an extraordinary group compared to ordinary task forces and has been co-chaired up to now by Milton Muller and Caroline Chicoine. Caroline has already left the Names Council after some years of great service, and Milton, we understand, is to leave us shortly. And therefore the question of chairmanship of this group has come up. One suggestion Caroline raised, and this is still something that she is considering, would be for both Milton and Caroline to continue as ex officio chairs. The alternative is we find a new chair, or we find new co-chairs. Milton, perhaps you could comment on the state of play so far with those options.
Well, I believe that that would constitute a deviation from our established rules. who cares about that? But I'd be willing to do it for a month or two as our new elected Names Council member got situated. I would certainly be willing to act in a stopgap capacity. And as far as I know, Carolyn is willing to continue. And, you know, in practical terms, the continuity would probably make things easier, but whether you should would have to pass some resolution or not to make that legal, I really don't know.
Phyllis, can I have a comment?
Marilyn, go ahead.
Can we ask a couple of questions about the Milton, maybe in terms of what the continued life work, so to speak, of the task force is, and what your estimated time frames are for concluding the task force?
Right. I think we've received the survey results, and basically the survey results need to be distributed to various members of the task force, and that process is being managed by Carolyn and myself, and both of us are, supposed to, were originally intended to go through some of those responses. I'm not sure how many there are yet. So I think that we're looking at least a month to sort of digest the responses of the survey, and then God only knows how long it's going to take the group to hash out new positions. I really think that would realistically be a six-month process.
I'd like to offer a comment from the experience of the WHOIS Task Force.
Go ahead.
Philip Clark. The WHOIS task force did experience a change in chair, and now because there was a rotation off of the Names Council of the present chair, Paul Kane from the Registrar's constituency did leave the Names Council. We did, in the task force, have an election of new, and we have co-chairs now, and we made really that decision, I think, but we continue to be able to call on Paul as we need to for information and reminders of what went before us. I think that linkage is really essential, but I don't support changing the rule of having a Names Council member or members as the formal chair, particularly if this is going to be a much longer work item, and it sounds like it will be.
Yes, yes. The original timetable I thought was leading up to an interim port in Ghana, which I'm hearing Milton may not now be possible.
No, I don't think it will be possible.
Okay. And certainly we just heard from one of the co-chairs that he would be willing to do a handover caretaker role, but nothing permanently, so perhaps that rules out the option, Marilyn, you were talking against as a long-term stance. In which case, I think it probably just leaves us to notify council members that chairmanship is to change, needs to change shortly on this task force. To suggest, I'm not sure, has the IP constituency already nominated a replacement for Caroline for that?
I think they have. That would be me. This is J. Scott Evans.
J. Scott, right. Okay.
May I ask that we keep some sort of reason to this, and we are at the point where these things are just about to be parceled out to the committee members, and that we not switch chairs until that act has occurred, because Caroline has coordinated all of that, and just logistically to switch in the middle, I mean, we're right on the cusp of these things being sent out.
And let me second that and say that we worked that out in the WHOIS task force as well, just J. Scott, and managed the rotation of the previous chair off in a time that fit the work of the task force.
That's right. I mean, I just don't want us to do it. She is coordinating. I think Louie can also tell you that she's been coordinating on the last couple of weeks of getting this information gathered and parceled out, and she's been sending around messages that it is. She's just verifying details so things aren't sent to the wrong mailing addresses at this point. And I just don't want to have that work all be duplicated again.
J. Scott, I think what you're saying sounds eminently sensible. You're talking about a short-term practical measure for the chair would change. Can you just think of a very short motion that we can put to the Names Council which will allow that to happen, and call for subsequent election of chair to be done by the group itself?
I would move that the Names Council allow the current co-chairs to remain in their positions until such time as the surveys, which have been collected up until the deadline, have been sent to the task force members for consideration.
Philip, this is Ken Stubbs. Can I ask you a question here? I have a minor point of order.
Yes.
There was a request to the council from Caroline, and as best as I know, the request was put on the agenda. Marilyn made a comment, and now all of a sudden we've decided not to accept that request. Did I miss some sort of action there, or was it just a general consensus amongst the members that we weren't going to consider that request at all? Am I wrong there,
I believe the request was spelling out the options which we had, which was Caroline expressing her willingness to continue for a time if that was the will of the Names Council, or reminding us that we need to have an election, or am I getting it wrong?
What I'm confused about also is what will the procedure be if Caroline and Milton are not to continue? Does the Names Council vote on the chair for the committee, or does
the task force itself would vote? Participating members.
Let me comment on the process we followed today, having just learned about it in detail. The process we followed today has been that the a chair has been named usually to the task force by Philip as the chair of the Names Council, and then many of the task forces have a confirmation or a new election, and they each work that out individually, but that is their choice. That is, they choose the chair. But the rule of the Names Council is that the chair has to be a member of the Names Council. Task forces are composed of members of constituencies and the GA and of members of the Names Council.
So in other words, you're saying, Marilyn, that it will be handled within the task force, but the only people that can stand for chair would have to be a Names Council member.
That's right.
Yes, Martin is stating current rules, what would happen on the Names Council. We're merely debating something which is slightly different to normal practice, which is to allow somebody who is no longer technically a member of the Names Council to continue for a time in a caretaker capacity for what sounds like an eminently practical reason. And will be time limited by the activity concerned, which was a motion J. Scott put earlier. Does anybody else have a comment against the motion that J. Scott has proposed?
Philip, I would like to second that motion.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We have a second motion. Would anybody like to speak against, or can I call the motion?
Well, Philip, this is Lizzie.
Yes.
I was just cut off abruptly, so I couldn't listen to the motion properly.
Right.
Can you repeat that again?
Jay Scott, please repeat your motion.
I have moved that the Names Council allow the current co-chairs, Milton Mueller and Caroline Chacoin, to continue as co-chairs of the UDRP Task Force, Evaluation Task Force, until such time as the responses which have been gathered have been sent out to the task force members for evaluation.
Thank you.
Okay, that motion has been proposed and seconded. Those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those against, please say no.
Philip, I think there's a point of order from Milton.
I just wanted to add a sentence to that, to the friendly amendment, saying that after that period of distributing the survey results, that the task force would elect its own chairs.
I am amenable.
Thank you. So to that amended motion, let me take the ayes again. Those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those against, please say no. Could you state your name, please, and another vote?
I don't think there's no vote. I think you're echoing.
Echo. Those abstaining, please abstain. Fine. That's passed unanimously. Item 7 dealt with. Thank you very much. Item 8 is a brief item, I hope. Posting rules to the NP list. We have at the moment, as you know, a restriction of who can post the list. That's basically Names Council members, board members, Names Council, DNSO staff, and ICANN staff, plus General Assembly chair and co-chair. And that is, I think, the complete list. We've had a request from one of the constituency secretariats to say, could the secretariats also be given the ability to post to the list? The reason for the request, I think, was that the individual secretariat was unable for some time to contact either of its three members in order to make a posting to the list, which would be the course that a secretariat would normally take. The question before us, then, is do we wish to amend our internal rules as to who can post to allow for such a situation in the future, or do we prefer the existing case where secretariats need to find at least one of their constituency members to post?
Philip, I'd like to be in queue.
Marilyn, Elizabeth, I'm hearing who else? Marilyn, Elizabeth, you've got some nice music playing now.
Bruce Tonkin would like to speak as well.
Okay, Marilyn, Elizabeth, and Bruce in queue. Anybody else?
So if I could speak against this idea at this time for the following three reasons. One is that I know there may have been an incident in the past where the secretary couldn't reach one of the three representatives urgently, but I think that could be dealt with in the future by internal processes within those constituencies who do have secretariats. So I think that pointing to an individual situation of having a position from the constituency that needed pointed, needed posting, and not being able to find their one of their three designated elected reps should be dealt with individually. Many constituencies don't have ADCOMs, and this brings me to my second point of concern. When the world at large reads what is posted to the Names Council, they assume it is posted by the elected reps of the constituencies. And I prefer to keep that in place at this time because I think it is important for clarity and to avoid confusion. As constituencies grow larger and organize themselves in a way where they have an executive committee or an ADCOM body, we may want to revisit in the future how postings are done, but I don't see the value of doing this right now. I think it, in fact, would add significant confusion to those who rely on the archives for information.
Right, Mike. Because what I'm saying, indeed, is that some secretariats may well be employing third parties who would owe an allegiance in terms of a contract or whatever to their constituency, but not actually be a member of the constituency itself or a certain member of the Names Council.
That's true, and they also are not elected, which I think is the key point to being on the Names Council.
Thank you. Elizabeth.
I am very much in support of Marilyn said the elected people are to communicate with the Names Council. It is, of course, possible that some kind of emergency arise, and we are very lucky now we have secretariat in such a situation. If secretariat of whatever constituency cannot reach their own representative, they can always send message to Glenn, and she will advise and put it forward if necessary, if emergency really. So we have always situation within our rules, and there is no need to change.
Bruce.
I'd just make the comment that I think certainly from the registrar's constituency point of view, we have an elected executive committee in addition to the Names Council representatives, and we have a chair of the executive committee. I understand the registry constituency is similar, and I would see no problem in allowing the chair of those constituencies to be able to post to the Names Council information.
Okay, so that's two voices against and one in favour is what I'm hearing. Other comments? Then I suggest we put this to a vote. Let me just try a vote of acclamation first. Those in favour of changing our posting rules to the list to allow constituency secretariats to post, please say yes.
Yeah, can I just understand, Philip, just define what you mean by secretariat? I mean, I guess I would probably, want a clarification of that.
I think we need to determine one individual who the constituency is saying is their secretariat.
Philip, I have a point of order I'd like to raise again.
Madam, go ahead.
At the present time, those who are authorized to post to the list are elected to the NC. We are not, in my view, just changing our the question of who gets to post, but we are actually changing the changing the definition considerably, because we would be saying that people who are not elected NC members can post.
I'm sorry to speak, please.
Carrie, go ahead.
I wonder if there's not an intermediate position here, that if the notion of representativity is an important one, which it well might be, what about empowering the chairs of the constituencies to post under the clear stipulation that they have attempted to and not been able to get a hold of one of the NC reps, and that there is time value to the posting?
I think, Carrie, any problem with trying to define an individual is that constituency is orchestrated in different ways. In some cases, the chair may be a third party. In some cases, the chair may be the names council representatives themselves, in which case it doesn't actually extend the number of people who could post.
Is it safe to presume that the number that it's easier to define the chair than a secretariat?
Yeah, that would be sort of my position. And also the comment I would make is that we have other people that posted this list, including ICANN staff, that are not elected, and these people that posted are not actually able to vote.
Now, I mean those who post to the list are those who the Names Council has determined they want to post to the list, you know, for whatever reason. And typically staff or board members are, because they'll be posting relevant information, as that's what they're employed for.
I have a question that I would like to propose, that I would like to ask the group. How many times has a constituency been disadvantaged by not being able to get a posting done by their elected representatives, would be question A. And question B, because I think if this is in fact a serious problem, we should understand it. If it has happened once or twice and been a slight delay, that's a different issue. I also do think that we need to be careful about what we are, the archives relied on by others, and I'm not quite sure why a constituency goes to the trouble of having elected reps if they then want to have a different group in their constituency manage the posting, or if we're only saying this is only in case of dire emergency.
There's some additional questions. I must say, I mean, I'm warming very much to the suggestion of Elizabeth, which is that in cases where there is an exception, and we shouldn't ordinarily make standard rules based on exceptions, but in case we have an exception, we do have a secretariat who can then make a informed decision as to whether or not under those circumstances then the posting should be made, and our secretariat can then do that. It seems to be a very practical way forward. But would those who were in favour of something wider like to speak and to say why that process wouldn't be suitable for these occasional problems? Bruce, would you be happy with that outcome?
I just wonder whether we're being a bit overly bureaucratic on a lot of these issues, Philip. This is Bruce speaking. I mean, I think we need to be able to trust people to be able to send something to list as information. You could say that it's something that's requested if you wish, in a similar way that you might have ICANN staff. So you might say that you're requesting the such and such constituency to post something, and if that happens to be the chair versus one of the Names Council reps, I think that's fine.
Peter, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I think we should keep the list as it is, leave it as closed as possible to keep the noise off the list. And as you suggested, Phil, if some constituency secretariat cannot reach their elected representative, they can forward that to the DNSO secretariat, who can then post it along with the reason for it. But I'm for keeping the list closed. It's noisy enough as it is.
Go ahead. I wonder actually how much noise we would be able to eliminate. If I, as one of the representatives of my constituency, am asked to post something, I'm going to post it. So all that happens is there's more noise in the intermediate mailbox and no less noise on the list.
I'm not certain over time if that's going to be the case, actually, because once you give, if a secretariat feels part of its job is to keep the Names Council informed of what it deems are relevant developments, that changes a little the position from where we are now. So I think there could be mission drift over time once you make such a change as this. I must say, my own feeling is that what Elizabeth proposed and what Pete and others are saying is probably nearer the mark, but let's have our comments.
Elizabeth. Another reason for which I would much more prefer to stick to keep our current rules is that allowing secretariat or chair or whoever else from other constituency to post to the council list is...
I can get a second, but he's parliamentarily correct.
Okay, Roger, I agree with that. Do I have a second for that motion?
I do second.
We have a second from YJ. Okay. Before we take the vote, could I remind Greg, Ruth, and Tony Harris to unblock their phones? They're on mute at the moment. So that was for Greg and Tony Harris before I take this vote, otherwise we won't hear from you. Okay, let's take this vote. This is on Milton's amendment for a reserve of 40,000 in place of the current reserve of 57-odd. Richard Tindall. Yes is for 40,000, no is against. Richard Tindall? No. Carrie Carp?
Roger. Absolutely no.
Thank you. Tony Holmes? I'll come back. Greg? Tony Harris? Just after calling it. Elizabeth?
No.
Peter?
No.
Philip?
Abstained.
Abstained. Bruce?
No.
Ken?
No.
Milton?
Yes.
YJ?
Yes.
And Vanny? YJ for Vanny? Guillermo?
No.
Laurence?
No.
Caroline?
No.
Grant?
No.
Marilyn?
Yes.
Okay, I go back to someone who didn't hear from Tony Harris. Tony Harris, can't hear you. Greg Ruth? No. Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Carrie Carp.
No.
Richard? Let's see if these people are still on the call. So Tony Harris, you're